up here again. Just come right up here and have a seat on this front row. And you know what? I'm going to steal one of these chairs for myself too. All right. Oops, sorry. Am I too close if I sit right here? Will that scare you?
No.
All right, that's good. All right, and you can scoot over a little bit closer if you want. All right, so I wanted to tell you guys a story today from the book of Daniel. It's from chapters 5 and 6. We've been actually doing history lessons from the book of Daniel for all the people here that come on Sunday morning for sermon time. Do you guys know the book of Daniel very well? It's a little bit here and there, okay. Well, the story today starts with a war getting ready to happen. You got two countries. You guys do maps, right? You see the map behind me here? See the maps there where you got the green? That's the new big country that's trying to take over other countries. You see the little pink country? That's the country that used to take over other countries. That's Babylon. And so in the story today, we start with the beginning of war. It happened in 539 BC. This is real history. And an invasion happened. A great big army came flying across the border, and it surrounded the capital city, and there were people all over the place getting ready to take that city over. Now, I got a question for you. If you were in charge of that city, if you were like the king or the queen in that city, and your city was being surrounded by armies, what would you do? Oh, I need this in case you guys want to help. What would you do? Don't know?
Panic.
Panic?
Don't know?
No?
Try to prepare for the worst.
That's very good. Panic is not going to help much, but it's likely that's what you're probably going to do. Well, there was a king in place. I say king, even though he really wasn't an official king. He used that title, but he was actually number two. He was the second ruler in the kingdom because his dad was the real king, but his dad was somewhere else. And so this, can we call him like a kingling? This kingling was in charge of the city of Babylon when all of these soldiers, all of these armies came around his city. And do you know what he did? He partied. He decided to have a big banquet and invite all of his friends and all the people from the country. And he invited all the commanders of his army. Instead of going out there and preparing for war, they were supposed to come in and drink with him and eat with him. What do you think about that? That's messed up. That is exactly correct. Now, what's really messed up is this. His grandpa is a very famous person. His grandpa was named Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar, he actually took over the city of Jerusalem, and he took over the temple building that was there. The temple is the special place for God. And King Nebuchadnezzar took plates and bowls and cups that belonged to God out of the temple back to Babylon. And he stored them away. He was kind of holding them hostage. This guy here, Belshazzar, his grandson, when he had this party, he said, "Hey, I got a good idea. Let's get that Jewish God's cups out here and we'll fill them with wine and we'll toast to our gods. We'll toast to the God of silver, we'll toast to the God of gold, we'll toast to the God of bronze, we'll toast to the God of stone and wood." Now that's pretty messed up too, right? Making fun of the real true God. Well, that's where things get really interesting. In fact, it kind of turns into a scary story here. You guys like scary stories?
Yes.
You like scary stories? All right. Can you imagine for a moment, let's pretend you were having a birthday party and you were in the room, maybe Chuck E. Cheese, someplace like that, and then suddenly a glowing disembodied hand came across the room. How would you feel about that?
Excited.
You would feel excited about it?
Interested.
You'd be interested? Anybody panic like I would?
Horrified.
You'd be scared?
Horrified.
I'm telling you right now, I'd be like that Home Alone moment. In fact, let's see. Why don't you do what you would do if you saw a hand floating across the room? Here it comes. Are you ready? Here it comes. Right across the room as soon as I click it one more time. There it is. Ah! Now, That's pretty scary by itself, a floating disembodied hand. But it left behind something. It left behind a message. It left behind some writing on the wall. Some symbols. Oh, that was the next thing I was going to ask you. Can you guys read this at all?
No.
No. You can't read that at all? Would it help if we put it into English letters?
Yes.
All right. Why don't we do that? Say, give me English letters.
Give me English letters.
All right. Here's the English letters for you. Does that help?
No.
What's wrong with it?
It's backwards.
Well, you know what? That's not surprising. Because in the part of the world where this story happens, they write from right to left instead of right to left like we do. So, would it help if we flip it?
Yes.
All right, let's say that. Turn it around.
Turn it around.
All right, let's turn it around. And now can you read it?
No. Close.
Well, try to pronounce it out. How would you pronounce it out?
Man.
Well, it's not man because the A comes after the N. Now, another weird thing that they do in their language, they don't have as many vowels to help us out. So you have to just kind of make the sound of the letters. So let's try it. Money. And then we say it again, right? Money. Tickle. Paris. Okay, so men. Let's say it again together. Money. Money. Tickle. Paris. All right, so... did that help you out any?
No.
Do you know the message? All right, so let's just say reset.
Reset.
All right, so we'll go back to the original that was up on the wall. Because the people that were at the party, they had a problem as well. They couldn't read it. It was not in a language they knew. It was not in letters that they knew. And so the king, besides being scared about this disembodied hand, he's scared about this message that he can't read. And so he puts the call out. I want all my wise men in here. Get all my wise men in here because I want to know what this message is. In fact, I promise that whoever can tell me what this message means, I'll make them the number three ruler in the kingdom. Because you see, he's number two. So he can only offer number three. And I'll give him a gold chain around his neck. I'll give him brand new clothes. And I'll make him special. Sounds like a pretty good deal, right? Well, all the guys showed up. Do you think they could figure it out?
No.
No. All the guys that are smart come in and they look at it and go, no, I don't recognize any of that. It doesn't look familiar. They didn't recognize it a bit. They couldn't tell what the message was. And that's where the king's mom jumps in. See, because remember I told you his grandpa is very famous, King Nebuchadnezzar? Well, King Nebuchadnezzar had some daughters. And one of his daughters, when she grew up, she married a man from the army, and he got to turn into the king, and she was the queen. And then they had a baby boy, and they named him Belshazzar, and he's the guy in the story right now. Now remember, Dad's somewhere else, so we're not going to worry about Dad. But Mom is there at the banquet, and she goes, look, son, back in the time of your granddad, my dad, there was a very smart man. And he knew how to figure things like this out. He worked for your granddad for 40 plus years. He's kind of somewhere else doing other things right now. But I'm telling you, if you ask him to come here, he can tell you what it means. Now, if you were Belshazzar, what would you do? You'd try to find that guy. Well, his name is Daniel. Yes, now it comes to true, right? Now you understand why this is a story from Daniel. Now, he's an old guy. He's as old as your grandparents' dad and mom. You guys got great grandparents?
Nope.
You do? You do? He's like about 80 or so. And so he's somewhere else. He's not at this party. And so they ask him to come. So let's ask Daniel to come. Hey, Daniel, get in here. All right, so Daniel comes in, and he looks at this writing, and he says, I understand it. But first, he has to tell a part of a story. You remember how this all started? how the king Belshazzar was like really full of himself, and instead of getting ready for the war that was coming, he was partying and he was drinking wine and stuff out of God's tableware and talking about other gods and goddesses. That's because he was really prideful in his heart. And so Daniel starts there. He says, King Belshazzar, I used to work for your grandfather. And you know, there was a time where he got full of himself. And God took him down a notch or two, made him be crazy for a period of time. And he got to live out with the animals, and he couldn't talk, and he couldn't think, and he was running around eating grass like he was an animal. Until finally, he realized that there is a God in heaven, and God is in charge, and you ought to do what that God says. And then he repented. Do you guys know what repent means?
No.
Repent means to change the way you think. Start thinking like God thinks. And if you change the way you think, what will that do with your actions? It'll turn your actions around as well, right? Because if you've been doing bad things, and God says, no, those are bad things, if you repent, you start doing the right things. So Nebuchadnezzar repented. That's what Daniel says. Your granddad repented. And that's really what you need to do, Belshazzar, but I already know you're not going to. Because the message is all about that. Because this is what it means. It means numbered, numbered. That's what mene means. Because you see, these letters, these are ancient Hebrew letters. They go back way past the time of Moses. And so that's why nobody recognized them, because it wasn't being used anymore. But he knew it. And so Daniel says, I can interpret the words for you. Numbered, numbered. Next word, weighed. And the last word, Paris, divided. That's good. Say it together. Numbered, numbered, weighed, divided. Let's get everybody involved in this one. Everybody together. The message, numbered, numbered, weighed, divided. Now, you don't understand the words. Do you know what they mean?
No.
No. Well, let's take apart a little bit of it. If you had $100, that's the number of dollars you have, and you got them all, you got those dollars all hidden away somewhere, and you go and check them one day, and there's only 50 of them, how does that make you feel? Upset, because the number's not right, right? It's short. The number is not where it needs to be. That's what he's being told. You're short. You don't have everything you need. Now, how about weighing? Let's imagine for a moment that you've got 10 pounds of chocolate. You guys like chocolate? Okay, chocolate for you. How about pizza? 10 pounds of pizza?
Yes.
All right, 10 pounds of pizza has been promised to you, but only 1 pound shows up. Oh, yeah, that's not good.
They lost nine pounds
of it. That's not good. Oh, that's what it means here. It means you're not where you belong. Your number's off. Your weight is off. As in, you are not up to what God needs you to be. Which leaves the last thing. God has decided that you need to be gone. And your kingdom is going to get divided up. Now, the weird thing, you've remembered what the word was each time. What was the word for divided? Do you remember? Paris. Paris. That's also the word for Persian. Do you remember who's attacking them? The Medes and the Persians. The people from the green. And so there's a play on words here where God has actually told him the way you're going to get divided up is the Persians coming. Now, King Belshazzar kept his promise, or tried to. He says, oh, Daniel, you told me what it means. You've explained it all to me. Now, he apparently didn't believe it. He says, but I'm going to make you number three ruler in the kingdom. I'm going to give you the gold chain. I'm going to give you the special robes, and you're going to be honored. Now, How much good does that do you when your city is being attacked?
Not that good.
Because you know what happened later that night? Some soldiers from the Medes and the Persians snuck along the river into the city and took it over. And a lot of the people that belonged to Belshazzar ended up dead. Do you know what happened to Belshazzar? He ended up dead. He lost his kingdom. And so now there's a brand new king in town.
It's Daniel.
Nope. It's not Daniel that's the king. That would be great if he was, wouldn't it? It's a new guy by the name of Darius. Now, in our little picture here, he's the guy sitting on the throne. You can always tell a king because he's sitting on a throne, right? Especially if he has a big special hat on. So there's King Darius. And King Darius has taken over the country of Babylon, and he says, I need to divide this country up. Do you remember the last word in the prophecy? Divide it up. I need to divide this country up to 120 different sections, and I'm going to put 120 different guys in charge of it, people that are loyal to me, and then I need three guys to be in charge of them. Guess who's one of those three guys?
Daniel.
Because he is smart, and he actually prophesied that the Babylonians were going to lose tonight. And so Darius is impressed. So Darius makes Daniel one of his three guys. Over the next few weeks and months, Daniel proves to be really, really good at his job. He gives great advice to Darius. Now, if you're really good at your job, what should happen?
Success.
Promotion, right? And so that's what happened to Daniel. Darius calls him in and says, Daniel, I'm going to give you a promotion. I'm going to make you in charge of everybody else. You're not going to be one of three. You're not going to be one of 120. You're going to be the one that is right next to me. You're going to be number two in my kingdom. Now, how do you think that made the other guys feel toward Daniel?
Jealous.
Not happy. In fact, whoever it was that did this picture, got to get back to it, sorry. I circle them here. Do you see their faces? Whoever did this picture did a good job. These guys are not happy. The ones that are circled in red, they're not happy that Daniel's getting his promotion. And Daniel's the guy standing right there in front of the king. You see him? The tall guy. Gray hair and a gray beard because he's like 80. All right? And so the king's giving him his promotion and the other guys are like, I don't like this a bit. And so they start plotting against him. They start thinking, how can we get him in trouble? How can we get him out of this job? Now, they have a problem, though. Daniel is a really good guy. He doesn't do bad things. He doesn't steal money. He doesn't lie about stuff. He doesn't try to get people to lose their jobs just so he can have their stuff. He doesn't do anything bad. So they can't figure out a way in order to get him in trouble with the king, because the king really loves him. Until they start talking to each other, and they go, they're in one of their little plot sessions, and they're like, we're never going to get this guy in trouble with the king unless it's got something to do with his religion, because he loves his God so much. In fact, he prays three times a day facing the place where his God has a temple. Now, I got a question for you guys, since we're thinking about prayer here. Do you guys know where your house is from here? Okay, stand up and face your house. You have no clue. And you're not sure. She thinks she knows, she's pretty sure, and you're not sure at all, right?
No.
See, now that's a place you actually know. Now, Daniel has been away from the place where he was born and had his childhood for 60 plus, almost 70 years. But he prays every day facing Jerusalem, where he was born and grew up, because Jerusalem is the place where God is worshiped. So every day he goes to his window, opens it up, and he faces Jerusalem. Now, here's your bigger question. Do you know where Jerusalem is from here?
No.
None of you have a clue, do you? I'm going to help you out here. See those windows over there?
Yeah.
That's east. Okay? From here, Jerusalem is mostly east and slightly south. So if you're going to face Jerusalem like Daniel does, why don't you stand up where you're at? You have to kind of face that direction. Right? Now, Daniel gets up and he faces the direction of Jerusalem three times a day. He does it at like 9 o'clock in the morning, noon, and 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because those are worship times for the Jewish people. Every 3 hours, that's right. So more than likely, he prayed when he got up first thing in the morning too. So he's praying all day long. He prays without ceasing. And so he's praying, and these guys know about that. Go ahead and have a seat again. So they're like, ooh, that's something that we know. We know he prays every day, multiple times, out in the open where people can see him because he opens up his window. Let's come up with a plan on that. So this is the plan they came up with. You're starting to remember this story now, aren't you? You know the VeggieTales story, don't you? All right, so they go to the king and they go, oh, king, you are such a good king. You're such a smart king. You're a handsome king. You're a wealthy king. You're a powerful king. Now, when somebody comes up and starts doing all sorts of nice things about you, you know they're going to ask something, right? They're trying to butter you up. Well, that's what they were doing. Yeah, that's when mom goes, what do you want? All right. Well, he didn't think about that. He just keeps listening. And they said, king, we think that you ought to put out a rule that nobody can ask anything of anyone except you for 30 days. Because you ought to be honored. You ought to be respected. Because you're the great king. And he bit on that bit of bait with the hook in it, and he gave in to that. And so he did. He made the rule. He says, I declare, as Darius, the king over Babylon, nobody gets to ask any requests of anyone except me for the next 30 days. And so Daniel now knows that there's a rule. If he goes to his window and asks things of God, like, God, please take my sins away. Please take care of my health. Please take care of the kingdom, my new boss, the king. If he asks those of God, he's breaking the law. Now, what do you think Daniel does?
Pray.
Yeah, he goes ahead and breaks the law because the law is violating something he's been told to do, which is he needs to talk to God on a regular basis and ask things of him. Ask and you shall receive. And so he goes to the window, opens it up as usual, and starts praying. And that's when the guys come in and arrest him. You see the little rope where they got him? They're getting ready to tie him up and take him away. And they took him away to King Darius, and they said, king, this guy violated the law. It was clear. Nobody was supposed to ask anything of anyone except you for 30 days. And he went ahead and he prayed to his God and he asked things of him. Now, Darius, he was a fairly good man in his heart, I think. And he kind of liked Daniel and he's like, what? No, he shouldn't have a penalty against him. And they said, no, no, king, that's not how it works. Because according to the law of your country, the law of the Medes and the Persians, once a law is made, there can be no exceptions. You can't go back on it. Daniel has to be punished according to the rule. Now, we skipped a very important part because I wanted to save it until now. Do you know what the punishment was for anybody that violated this law? They get fed to very hungry lions. Now, that's a pretty serious penalty, isn't it? And so these guys tell King Darius, doesn't matter how much you like Daniel, he's lion food. You have to throw him in with the very hungry lions. And King Darius, as much as he hated it, took Daniel with his soldiers to the lion's den, where they were keeping these very hungry, ferocious lions, probably starved them for a few days. They had a big stone in front of the entrance to keep them trapped in there. It was probably like a cave that went down from the entrance. And so they opened up just enough where they could shove Daniel in. And the last thing that Darius said to him is, "Daniel, I hope your God can save you from this." And then they closed the door. What's that? Well, the king has to do the law. And so that's the rule. Now the king, do you know what the king does all night long? Because apparently the rule was you put him in and the next morning you check on him. So the king goes back to his palace and he prays all night long. He doesn't eat anything special. He doesn't let anybody come in and play any music for him, because in his heart, he knows Daniel needs help. And so he prays until finally, the next morning, as soon as the sun comes up, as soon as the rule is finished, he goes down there to that den with his soldiers and he has them open that door and he yells down there, "Daniel, did your God save you?" And Daniel says back, "Oh, king, my God is able and did save me from the mouth of the lions. He sent his angel, his messenger, to save me from them." And when they brought him back out of there, let him walk up and come through the door, there wasn't a scratch on him. They checked. Now, I get scratches from my kitties all the time. My wife gets scratches from her kitties all the time, and they're not even trying to hurt us. These hungry lions didn't even take a nibble. And that was how the king, Darius, learned about the power of the true and the living God. Now, there was one other rule that they had in that country. If you try to get somebody in trouble in the court, and it turns out you were lying about them, whatever it is you tried to do to them gets done to you. So, did the lions get fed today? Yep, they did. All those bad guys that lied about Daniel ended up in the lion's den, so the lions were able to have their food that day. Which reminds me, when we're done here in just a few moments, you guys recognize these things up here? Animal crackers. Now, I love animal crackers. I grew up eating animal crackers. There's always lions in animal crackers, right? And so I wanted you to take these animal crackers home with you today so that you can bite off the heads of some lions, because I'd rather you eat lions than lions eat you, right? But I want you to remember the story of how Daniel didn't get eaten by the lions because God was on his side. And the story ends in the Bible with this. King Darius put out a record. He put out an order. He wrote to all the people, the nations and men of every language who were living in his land, "May your peace abound. I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. He endures forever. His kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. His dominion will be forever. He delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has also delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." That's the biggest part of this story, is that the king learned there's a true king, a true God. And when he decides to do things his way, no one can stop that. Now, before we finish in just one moment, I want to remind you of another story. It's coming up very close in our time in church in 2 more weeks. Do you remember another time where they put somebody in a cave-like thing and rolled a stone in front of it? When Jesus was crucified. When Jesus was crucified and he died for our sins, they took his body and they put it in a cave-like tomb and they rolled a stone in front of it. And for 3 days, people wondered, what is God going to do with that? What happened on the third day? He rose again. The stone was rolled away, and God proved once again He is able to do everything that He promises to do. And so that's what I want you to remember today as we close in prayer. You ready? We're going to pray. Father, I thank You for the chance we've had today to talk about Daniel and his faith and his life proving that You are able to do great things, including rescuing Daniel and saving us from our sins through Jesus Christ, death and resurrection. Father, let us take that message to heart and live it out throughout the rest of this week and the rest of our life. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.